This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, August 14th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, Legal Issues in the News examines why it's not a good idea to keep wild animals as pets. First, a look at today's news. A 4-year-old Chicago boy remains hospitalized in stable condition after an accident on the Kankakee River that left 2 people dead and a 3rd missing. Young Brian Santoyo was rescued and resuscitated after he fell into the swirling water near a dam along the river yesterday. His mother, Delia Santoyo, drowned trying to save the boy, as did bystander Alberto Medina. The boy's uncle, Marine Sergeant Jafet Santoyo, disappeared in the water and is presumed drowned. The police chief in Wilmington, Wally Evans, says a search for the body resumes today. Family members say Jafet Santoyo returned recently from a tour of duty in Iraq. Authorities say the Santoyo family and some of their friends from Chicago were on a fishing outing to Wilmington's South Island Park when that tragedy happened. Striking counselors at Sheridan Correctional Center plan to meet with their employer for the first time since they walked off the job more than 2 months ago. Negotiators from Gateway Foundation will convene in Morris August 22nd with representatives of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. AFSCME and Gateway have not met face-to-face since last May, and each side has blamed the other for the lapse in bargaining. Gateway CEO Michael Darcy says he's optimistic about the talks. The company has continued programs during the strike using management employees and 17 workers who have crossed picket lines. A new Illinois law will give protections to renters who are victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, but some fear it doesn't go far enough. Amanda Vinicky has the details.
Lynn Chalette of the Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault says her group has worked with several women who were raped in or near their apartments.
In one case, a woman was raped and her purse was stolen, and as a result of that, the rapist was able to get her keys and have access to her apartment.
Despite the fear and likelihood that the offender could return, Chalette says each of the women had a hard time getting out of her lease. The new law is supposed to help renters get out of these dangerous situations. Say a woman was raped in her apartment and thus decides to break her lease early. Come January, because of the law, if her landlord then sues, the woman can use as a defense that she left because she was assaulted and is at risk. Chalette says the law will help victims, but she says rather than it coming down to a victim having to defend herself in court, it would be better if she had the right to break a lease outright. Others say that would take rights away from property owners. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Illinois' gubernatorial race has turned stormy, this time over the adequacy of the state's response to severe weather that raked parts of southern Illinois last month. Last week, Governor or Republican candidate Judy Bar Topinka publicly called into question if Governor Rod Blagojevich acted quickly enough after those storms. The state treasurer also criticized Blagojevich for not having gone there to survey the damage. She says it's wrong the governor had time in the 3 weeks since to travel to Las Vegas and Michigan, but not to storm-ravaged areas in Illinois. When asked by reporters why he hadn't visited the area, Blagojevich said the question didn't merit a response.
Why haven't you been there?
You're referring to Treasurer Topinka's grumbling, and you're trying to politicize these things, and I'm just not going to go there. Were you going to ask me something else?
The Illinois Emergency Management Agency is defending the state's response. It says the state set a cadre of agencies into storm-affected areas, marshaling everything from wood chippers to bulldozers and damage assessment teams. Police in Chicago say they're investigating the theft of several handguns from luggage at O'Hare Airport since the beginning of the year. Police spokeswoman Monique Bond says all of the thefts have occurred from bags checked for United Airlines flights by police officers, military personnel, and others with the legal rights to carry the weapons. Bond didn't say specifically how many guns had been stolen, saying only there had been a handful of such incidents. Word of the investigation came out after the Fraternal Order of Police began running a warning about the thefts on its website. United spokeswoman Robert Urbanski would say only that the airline's cooperating with police in the investigation. Officials say people attending the Illinois State Fair this week can be assured that their amusement rides are safe. Everyone has to get an inspector's approval before anybody can go on it. Art Ludwig, the director of the Illinois Department of Labor, says the inspectors ensure the rides are well-oiled, that the welding is in place, and that safety harness is locked properly. But while that preventative maintenance is important, Ludwig says most problems that arise at carnivals aren't mechanical in nature.
The majority, probably 90% plus of all the accidents are patron error.
they don't have their children up to speed, or they don't wait for the ride to stop, or they're not properly buckled in, or they try to get off a ride.
Ride Inspector Jim Sandhaus of Springfield says it's important that parents not wave to their children while they're on a ride, because the kids will wave back, which means their hands are off the safety rails.
If a child don't want to get on a ride, don't put him on a ride, because he's not going to like it, and then he's going to squirm around the seats and everything else, and that's when you have problems.
Sandhaus has no general safety concerns about traveling rides like most of those at the fair, which are frequently torn down and then reassembled. He says that way the parts are checked over nearly every week. State officials say the Illinois State Fair is the second largest inspection they do, after Six Flags Great America in Gurnee. For the latest newscast online, go to wyll.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. A story from earlier this year leads commentator Amy Guida to explain that keeping wild animals as pets is generally a bad idea. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Rachel Supley was in her Ohio living room when trouble came crashing through the door in the form of a 500-pound pet black bear. The bear pinned Supley to the ground and bit her until the woman's 15-year-old daughter lured the bear away with a tempting offer of lunch meat. The bear's owner may be in for a surprise of his own. A court would likely find him legally responsible for the woman's injuries, even if he did absolutely nothing wrong. And he'd need a lot more than pungent lunch meat to shake his pursuers in court. Usually, in order to make someone pay for an accidental injury, tort law requires proof that the defendant was negligent. That means that the injured party must prove that the defendant acted unreasonably in some way that caused the accident, that the defendant ran a red light, for instance, or drove too fast on a rain-slick highway. If the defendant's behavior was not blameworthy, there's no legal basis for making him pay. The accident is just bad luck for the victim. Not so, however, at least usually, with raging black bears. There's an exception for the keepers of wild or exotic animals in common law. Those who possess wild animals can be held strictly liable for injuries caused by the animals, meaning that the defendant can be held legally responsible simply for owning the animal, even if the owner acted entirely reasonably in caring for it and was blameless in causing the accident. And an Ohio court affirmed that rule in a 1996 case where a lion, they say, broke free from a farm and mauled a neighbor. According to news reports, the bear in Ohio escaped from a licensed wildlife breeding farm when the owner entered the bear's cage to do some cleaning. The beast then ambled down the road straight to the victim's home. There's precious little room to wiggle free from strict liability under those circumstances generally. Courts make exceptions in cases where the injury is caused by a truly wild creature who happens upon the defendant's property. So, for example, a Texas court held that an RV park had no duty to protect a patron from attack by 1,000 fire ants that set upon him while he was working underneath his trailer. But the court noted, if a landowner reduces a passing wild animal to possession or control, he will then incur the duty to keep it safely. Courts have also recognized a defense when the victim of an animal attack knowingly puts himself in harm's way. The South Dakota Supreme Court found no liability where a woman stood too close to a cage containing two strapping young bear cubs and within easy reach of one, which reached through the bars and knocked her down. Strict liability is also limited to injuries that are caused by special qualities like fangs and claws that make the wild animal abnormally dangerous. So a court in 1905 found no liability to a buggy rider injured when his horrified horse bolted at the sight of a bear being walked through the streets of an Indiana city. Same result in an early case out of New York, when a horse was frightened by the sight of a circus elephant being led through a town. The court ruled that the plaintiff's injuries could have been caused by the sight of any large object moving down the street, and so found that they weren't caused by the animal's dangerous propensities. The Indiana court also recognized what might be called a gentle Ben exception to strict liability, worrying that, quoting now, the owner of a bear, subjugated, gentle, docile, chained, would not be permitted to conduct the homely brute along the public streets. But none of those defenses would likely help the owner of the Ohio bear. First, brutish parading bears likely wouldn't lead to the same sort of soft-heartedness in 2006. Second, this bear was neither gentle nor indigenous to the owner's land. And finally, bite marks and scratches are exactly the sort of injuries that make bears abnormally dangerous. Fortunately, Rachel Supley survived her ordeal in surprisingly good shape. She credits her survival to divine intervention, saying that God sent an angel in the person of her quick-thinking daughter. The bear's owner may need a similar miracle. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. There's a continued threat of rain over parts of the two-state area today, but the rest of the week looks nothing but sunny, pretty much, across Illinois and Indiana. Meteorologist Scott Olthoff says today in northern and western sections of the two states, partly sunny, with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms yet this morning. Elsewhere, partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms through the day, and highs ranging from near 80 in the north to near 90 in the south. Partly cloudy tonight, the lows ranging from 55 north to 65 south, and sunny tomorrow, the highs from 81 in the north to 88 in the south. Through the week, Wednesday through Friday, mostly sunny through the period, and highs mostly in the 80s, lows mostly in the 60s. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, August 14th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.